You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
The scripture reading today is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 12. Please turn there. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. In flaming fire, take vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting discretion from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in him all them that believe, because our testimony because you among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also you pray also always for you, that our Lord our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with his power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, we pray now to add your blessing to the reading of your holy word. For in Christ Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Okay, right. Well, Sunday's around again, and boy, we've had a nice week cutting lawns. And these gopher things keep coming up. These hills popping up, and, it's nice and flat after you do the lawn, you know. These people laugh at me around where I live because, you know, every time I'm mowing the lawn, I hit one of these hills and poof, out goes this big dust at the back end of my mower. But nonetheless, it's all flat, at least, you know, it's all flat. But then the next morning, what? There's all these hills all over the place. And so we've been looking on the internet, how to get rid of these gophers, and we don't really want to kill them. I mean, you know, just it's not the way we are. So there's all sorts of recipes you can use to herd them out of your property, you know. And you put the stuff on, and you put it strategically around your property to try and herd them out of your exit point out of your property, and they go into your next door neighbor, who'll be very happy about it. Yeah. But probably, if I know you guys, you'd probably kill them, right? You kill them. I just keep seeing this little face looking at me, you know? Anyway. Yeah, so that's part of the joy of living out there in the country. Probably all over Oklahoma, it's the same deal with these little critters. But we're enjoying our property and we're enjoying the weather. The weather has been remarkable, just green. It reminds us very much from where we come from in New Zealand, which is just completely green virtually all the time. And out there in New Ireland, we've got these beautiful rolling hills, all green. We have deer, beautiful deer going through. We're just loving it. And hummingbirds. And we've got some nice flowers now. And these little hummingbirds come in with their long beaks and suck out the nectar, and then they turn around and they look at you through the window. And they come right up to the window and look at you. And so next time I'm going to get my camera and take a few pictures, and I'll share them with you, hopefully. Hopefully we can get them before they take off. Okay, well, here's my title of my sermon, You See Your Calling. And this comes from 1 Corinthians 1:26. So let's just turn there. It sort of matches up a lot with what we've been doing. You know, there are big time voices out there. Come over here. All kinds of people calling, saying that this is coming from God. Come over here. Come over here. Man, you listen to the radio and the voices coming through the radio. Come over here. Come over here. The literature that's out there. Come over here. Come over here. Callings of all kinds. And the word to call is this verb kaleo. And so there are calls going out. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 26, it says this, for ye see your calling, brethren. For ye see your calling. Blepete. Ye see your calling. Now, I'm interested in education. Have for a long, long time. And all of you are teachers, actually. You are all teaching in some way, through your life and your walk, through your voice, what you say, what you do. People are looking on and they are being educated. You know, there Paul talks about this, the living epistle. Yes, known and read. Yes, it's known and read. So we're all really interested in this whole idea of education. But here's an interesting expression. You'll probably use this yourself. I certainly use it all the time. Do you see what I mean? Do you see what I mean? You'll notice that I'm very graphical, because it's just something that I've come to realize as an educator, that if you can summarize something pictorially, people grab a hold of it a lot quicker. Now, there are some things you just can't picture, but I'll have a go at it anyway, because I know that if I can draw something, there's a better chance that they will understand. Do you see what I mean? Paul says here, 1 Corinthians 1:26, for ye see your calling. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Tremendous passage. It's a great passage, and it has so many applications, and the ideas that are involved with this are tremendous. And I know the truth of this in a general sense. The idea of a calling has basically two imports. One's doctrinal and one is national. One is doctrinal, to do with salvation, and the other has to do with dispensational, which has to do with hope and the place where you're going to go, what company you're a part of. There is salvation, which is by grace, and we can preach that, and we've got some great preachers in this country who can preach salvation by grace. Great message. Then we must ask, but then what? And my previous sermons have been about this. I believe, and I believe, right? And that is something that people will not understand. That has not been clarified. It was certainly never clarified to me. The fact that there is a hope which has been presented to us in the book, rightly divided, we find Paul the prisoner sets out a gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And we heard that, man. And I've been loving listening to some of the messages that have come from this pulpit in years gone by. And it's great to hear them. And there you will find, in those messages, quite clearly produced, the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And people in this fellowship have heard it, and they've responded to it, and they believe it. And through that belief, guess what? They have been made inheritors. They have been made joint inheritors of the joint body. That is what the message is that we have here distinctly in this church. I mean, many churches preach salvation by grace. There are many churches. Thank the Lord for it, right? Not minimizing that. That's important. We got to preach it. Hey, but there's something else. Then what? Well, I believe. Hey, I've been in some churches that preach that gospel and preach that gospel and preach that gospel. And they preach that gospel and they preach that gospel and they preach that gospel Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and that is it. There is no more. It goes that far and no more. I must ask this question. Isn't there some other good news as well in the Bible? Surely there is. Surely there's some good news concerning where God is going to place us. There is going to be a resurrection, man. It doth not appear what we shall be. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Yeah, we're going to be given, whatever the company is, a resurrected body that will fit the place where he's going to put us. Now, Paul tells us that the hope that's presented for in us in Ephesians is in tois ep ourenios. It's in the heavenly places. The word places is in italics. Why is that in italics? It's in italics because there's no Greek word that corresponds. But when Jesus went into the heavenlies, he sat down in a place there. So it is, it makes sense to say in the heavenly places. There is a place for us, and it's in the heavenly places. Let me ask you, what kind of body do you think God will give us that will suit that inheritance, that particular hope and place where we're going? Well, I don't know. I do not know. Why? Because I do not know all of the parameters that control that place. And as far as I can see, it's got nothing to do with this stuff. It's not like the matter of this world. The matter of this world is in decay. It's subject to the second law of thermodynamics. It's going down. The sun is decaying. We can look out in our telescopes and we can see the remnants of other suns that have gone through this process and have died. Our sun is dying. Oh, but what about the heavenly places themselves? Outside that realm, man. In the throne room of God, man. It's going to be different, man. It's going to be totally different. Therefore, we're going to get a body that suits that place. Right, that's, who knows what it's going to be like, but it's going to be better than Superman. I know that much. So, for ye see your calling. I must ask every last one of you, and those who are getting this tape, watching this on internet land, do you see your calling? Do you see it? Because man, oh man, a lot of people do not see it. They don't see it. Now, as I said, the verb is kaleo. And the first, I'm always interested to find out, the first and the last places a word that I'm studying appears in the Bible. It's always instructive to find it. The first place this appears is in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 25. Let's find it. Matthew 1, 25. Let's see. I mean, you just realize that when you study the scriptures, this is very significant, the first occurrence. Matthew 1, 25. It says this. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, I've written this down as their first time, but notice, just go back up here, because we want to know, well, who is this? He called his name. And he called his name Jesus. Let's just go back up here a little bit, and verse number 20, around about there. Let's verse from verse 19, because it's kind of an interesting story. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily, that is, privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now that is interesting, because it sets up the name Jesus. Joseph calls his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. His people from their sins. There is a prophetic Jesus that when he came to this earth, he came to fulfill prophecy. And when Jesus came, he came to his own. Now, John tells us that ultimately, and his own people received him not. We know that. But here in Matthew, we've got the beginning of his earthly ministry, and we find, well, he certainly did go to his own. He certainly did come to fulfill prophecy. Just see what Paul himself says about Jesus. Have a look in the Romans epistle, Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter number 15 and verse number 8 or thereabouts. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Why, Jesus Christ's ministry to Israel is stamped on his name. It's stamped on his name. And people who push around the name of Jesus, many times they forget that truth. That when you come to the Word of God, you better be careful where you quote and take passages to yourself. Because even on the name Jesus is Israel. Israel's there. Therefore, as we read through Matthew and the book of Acts, you're going to find a particular hope that's presented. As I pointed out, there are many people who are saying, this is where you need to come. Come over here. This is the calling you need to listen to. This is what Jesus is saying to you. Why, some will even say that I have the gift of prophecy. I have the gift of prophecy. And I can tell you what Jesus is saying to you personally today. I will tell you the hidden information for you. Come to me because I have the gift of the Spirit. There are many voices like this, and they are built upon certain assumptions.
You see your calling. No, many people do not see their calling. They build up an assumption. Let me write out this word. I have a song. I have a song that I sing to my students. It's called Asumptions. The Asumptions. And if you don't get your assumptions right and tie those on, you're going to make a of yourself.
Now, it is true. It is true that we all come from a certain perspective. There are some assumptions we make. Well, we need to investigate those assumptions continually. Continually. And if we do that, we will find that further light comes. Now, I'm not saying that therefore we make a complete correction. Oh, that's completely wrong. What happens is as you investigate what you believe, you suddenly find, oh, there's more to this. There's some more things that connect here. When we take that attitude, then light comes to us. So there are definite callings, and people need to investigate, find out, well, what is my calling? What is the calling that is mine? In the Bible, you're going to find that there are basically three clear callings, and then there are some associated ones. There are three clear ones. Let's go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 9. And just while you're going there, Romans chapter 9,
remember that last time I talked about some of the identifications that we have with Christ by grace. You know, we are crucified with Christ. We died with Christ. We were buried with Christ. We were quickened with Christ, made alive. We are risen with Christ. We are seated with Christ. And in the future, there is going to be a manifestation. We will be manifest with Christ. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then some of you rightfully pointed out, well, what about reigning with Christ? Ah, now these things here are ours by grace. Right? They're simply there because God gives them to us.
But reigning with Christ is just a little bit different. Now, I told you to go to Romans 9, but you know, I need to finish this off. Look at 2 Timothy with me. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let me just finish that little thought off, because it does come to this as well. It does meet with our present subject. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 8. Isn't it interesting that 8, we read from Romans 15 verse 8, and here 2 Timothy 2 verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Well, who's the my here? It's Paul. Paul's gospel. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Oh, okay. So salvation is by grace, but what is Paul doing? I endure all things for the elect's sake. And the elect's sake, in terms of salvation, is the gift of God. That they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So eternal glory is something in addition. Look at this, verse 11. It's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Bingo, gift, dead, part of grace, right? It's part of grace. Died with him. Yeah. We trusted Christ, we died with him. Okay, cool, man. We shall also live with him. Okay, there's life. We've got life by grace. Now look at the next verse. If we suffer. Whoa. Now suffering is quite different in terms of grace and the gift. Suffering has to do with you saying, no, I'm not gonna allow that to happen. I am gonna stand up for my God. I'm gonna stand up for what Christ expects of me, no matter what happens. And I'm gonna suffer. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. That's a reward. That's something that's based upon your suffering. That's based upon your decision to say, oh, well, no, I'm going to suffer. Here come the jihadists. They've now taken down America. They've got the sickle over the White House. And they're coming down the road and they're going to say to you, are you going to become a Muslim? Because if you don't become a Muslim, under the regulations of Sharia, you have to be put to death if you don't convert. You got a choice to make, haven't you? You got a choice to make. Now, Pastor Richard Wurmbrand, who was a Christian man who was living during the time of the Stalin and all that kind of stuff that happened in Russia, he stood up and says, no, I'm a Christian. Come hell or high water, that's what I believe in. And he went in there and they got red hot pokers, man, and they stuck him in his back. They tortured him. They did all this stuff. He suffered. He chose to suffer. Why? Because he's a believer and he says, no, this is what I believe in. It's a choice, right? It's a choice you might have to make here in America one day. Who knows with the way things are going. It's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. That's grace. That's a gift. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. What is he now saying? He's now saying it's not by grace that you're saved. Of course not. He's already made that and built that foundation. Salvation is by grace. You cannot lose it because you didn't get it in the first place by what you deserve. You didn't deserve it from the beginning. So how did you get it? It was by grace. Right? It doesn't make any sense whatsoever to say that this means that you lose your salvation. What this means is you will be denied your reward of reigning with Christ. That's why it's not up here as a part of grace. Right?
It's not up there as part of grace. It's something that you're going to have to earn. You're going to have to do something. You say, what? Yeah. Let me show you something else. Look at this in Philippians. Because you say, well, now, that passage there, I'm not sure about that. Well, okay, fine. See if you can get this one then. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Okay, so he's definitely building up his salvation experience here, and the knowledge, and all those great things which are in the scriptures by Paul, even in the Acts period, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Okay, now what he's wanting to do is he's wanting to perfect that faith that he has with works, in order that he can gain a gift? No. That he can gain a reward. Now he's talking about rewards. He's talking about running the race. Now look what he says. If by any means.
I've got a blog going on this. If by any means. That implies the possibility of failure. If by any means. Acts 27, if by any means we might attain unto Phoenice. Yeah, what happened to the boat, man? It run aground, man, at Melita. Acts 28, 1. It ran aground, it didn't make it. If by any means implies the possibility of failure. Look what he says. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. What do you mean that Paul is saying that he might not be raised? No, no. This is a very special resurrection. This is called an ex anastasis. An out resurrection. Anastasis is a resurrection. This is a special resurrection. This is an out resurrection. This is where others are left behind. There is a general resurrection, and then there is a special resurrection. This special resurrection occurs before the general resurrection. The general resurrection is like a default. We've talked about this before, haven't we? Abraham, what did he have? He had a default hope. It was the promised land. But what did he want? He wanted to perfect his faith with works so that he could gain some other hope, which was the New Jerusalem, a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Right? And what do we find in Hebrews 11, by the way? In the same passage. Well, it talked about, you know, people looking for a special resurrection. Right there in Hebrews chapter 11.
Anyway, so you get the point. That's the point I'm trying to make. So you've got these things here that are by grace, but there are certain things in the Bible which come to you through work. Work. Perfecting faith with works. The right works.
People say, you people, all you believe in is grace, 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 grace. What about doing some good works?
What about doing some good works? What works are you going to do? Well, my friends, you've got to know what your calling is. You know, you get these calls all the time on the phone. We got rid of our landline. We thought we'd get rid of them. We still get a few rubbish coming through the cell phone, but you know. But we used to get through the landline all these calls all the time. Yeah, yeah. These very nice people. I mean, it's very hard to put the phone down, you know. But in the end, I ended up sort of saying, thank you. They're still talking. Oh, thanks, Bob. No thanks. See you later. Have a good day. Bang. They're still talking. Bang. Otherwise, it just becomes too much. There's all sorts of voices over here, over here. Okay, go back to Romans chapter number 9. That's where you were before I started chasing the rabbit. The rabbits come, boy. They keep coming.
There's all sorts of I's that have got to be dotted and T's crossed. Okay, so in Romans chapter 9, you've got from verses 1 through 5, right? This starts off with this sorrow, a tremendous sorrow. He says this in verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Here is the way that this passage begins. Sorrow in the flesh. Christ who came. He came in the flesh. And he's concerned, Paul is very concerned about the nation of Israel. Then from chapter 9, verses 6 to 29, he basically talks about this remnant. So he's very sorrowful about Israel and their lack of faith, but he says there is a remnant. And then from chapter 9, verse 30 to chapter 11, verse 10, there's this talk in here about the stumbling stone. Let's see in verse 30, in chapter 9, verse 30, what shall we say then, that the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith, but Israel which followed after the law of righteousness had not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. There's the stumbling stone. It comes to Christ, and he issues and gets stuck into the whole issue of Christ. Is the stumbling stone here. Then in chapter 11, verse 11, what happens here? Look at this. Chapter 11, verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles. And he discusses how that's the case. But in so doing, what he does from 11, 11 right through to verse 32, he pronounces the fact that nonetheless, there's going to come a day when all Israel shall be saved. He brings that up. And then, in chapter 11 and verse number 32, chapter 11 and verse 23 or thereabouts, let's see. Oh, verse 33, I should say. So it's verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. And then notice it finishes with an amen. And it's, so it ends up with song. It starts off with sorrow and shows how a lot of Israel is not believing, but there's a remnant. And then he shows that, yes, there's salvation through Christ, and the Gentiles will be used to provoke Israel. And finally, the day will come when all Israel will be saved. And then there is song, man. Rock and roll. Right? Song comes. Just go back here to chapter 9 again, chapter 9, and look what it says in verse 3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth, look at this, the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Kaleo, the first usage of it. Jesus. And what does it say here? Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. That's it, man. Now, a lot of people get this calling. They say, whoo, man, I want in on that. Man, that's yummy. Man, that's grits, man, and gravy. That's what I want. Grits and gravy. I want that. I want to be in on that, and they will make themselves Israel one way or the other. The Rastafarians, man. Have you ever met a Rastafarian? Dreadlocks coming down, man.
And they get themselves into Israel this very novel way. Well, they get into Israel by saying, well, I was born on this month. It's 12 months of the year, so that maps me into one of the tribes of Israel. See? Pretty simple. Pretty nice way of doing it. 12 months of the year, 12 tribes. I'm in, man! And hey, that's good. That's good.
I love this calling. And a lot of what's in the Bible is this calling, because most of the Bible is addressed to Israel. Now, here's the rub, man. Here's the rub.
What you've got to understand is that that continues into the New Testament. Oh, man! Didn't we just read in Matthew 1, 23, down to 25? They shall call his name... Well, Joseph will call his name Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. And so it carries on, man. And not only that, it occurs even after the cross. Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And bingo, the Spirit was given. And off went the message to the Jew first. Why, that's even in Paul's epistles, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It's all through this Acts period. Anything that was written in this time has to do with Jew first. There's only a few things that we need to note, and that is that during this time, there was something interesting going on with the overcomer. This business of, you know, getting a better resurrection that was mentioned in Hebrews 11. There's something going on here with Abraham. When did he believe God? When he was in uncircumcision or circumcision? In uncircumcision. And therefore, Abraham gets pictured as the ideal person to show what's going on in terms of salvation and the hope, because he looked for a city which had foundation. But my friends, we know according to the book of Revelation what happens to that city. It comes down, man. It comes down onto the earth. Onto the earth, man. Come home, baby. Back to the earth. All this in here has to do with Israel and her covenant. Promises. You can't get out of it, friends. You can try all you want to change the reality, but in the end, that reality is going to kick you up the, you know what, man, assumption. It's going to get you in the end.
I'm just about out of time, so I just want to show you one more thing. There's a lot more here I want to show you. Look at this 2 Timothy with me. 2 Timothy. So I'm jumping to 2 Timothy. So I'm jumping after Acts 28.
Something happened over here, my friends, at Acts 28. What is your calling, man?
What is your calling? 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. And... verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. Oh, look at this. Before the world began, my friends. Oh, man. This is the verse that just wraps it up, my friends. Doesn't it?
And down a little bit further in verse 13, it says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus.
That good thing, that sacred deposit which was committed unto thee, keep.
Yeah, keep it. Man, a holy calling, man. That occurred after Acts 28. Holy calling. This calling is separate and different from all other callings, man. Is the phone ringing? That's my question to you. Is it ringing?
Have you got an ear to hear? Because I'm not going to be able to make you believe this. You realize that? I'm not going to be able to do it. You have got to be given a spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's got to be given to you. And if you got it, man, you got it. I believe and I believe. Right? It's a powerful, powerful message. It's going to be a message that's going to keep me going to my dying days. It's going to keep me busy. Thank the Lord for it, and thank the Lord for open eyes. There's a calling here, my friend. We haven't finished this. I'm going to have to continue it. So this will be part one, and we'll have to continue this next time. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time. We thank Thee, our Father, that we can see this calling, this holy calling, separate and different. We thank Thee, our Father, that while we have not been given the covenants of promise, that fortunately for us, there is a new vista that has opened up to us. A new hope has been presented to us. And we must put this new wine into new bottles, Lord, so that both would be preserved. We must understand, Lord, that Acts 28 marks that dividing line. And Lord, we ask that we could be faithful ministers on Thy side. Make it clear, Lord, that we might see and that others would see. Ye see Your calling. Yes, we pray, Lord, that people would come to see this. In Christ's name, amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.